Good evening. Here we are once again. This is the 13th week, and we are working our way into the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. And we've spent 13 weeks in a sense, in what I call the frontis material.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time doing a couple of things. One, we're going to have, in a little while, we're going to have a particular invocation that we're going to do. And then we're going to read, we're going to kind of skip through the whole section of that follows where we were last time, which is called the first stage of the voyage. There's a reason that we're going to do that. In a sense, it's preparatory to where we're going to wind up next week. And next week, in a sense, for me, finally, we're ready to begin.
Yes.
And we're ready to begin in a big way. And there's a reason why this particular set, I believe there's this very specific reason why the author gave us this material now before we open the next door. Think of this as walking through a chamber, a hallway where we enter various doors. But it's like Checkpoint Charlie. We enter when we're ready, and in a certain way, in a very certain way, which is you're cleared to go into the next part. But not having direct access to everybody reading this material, you can't knowingly clear. So you set posts up, you set markers up, and the markers. If someone reads through those markers, it places you into that to the spirit of what it is. Okay, does that?
You're absorbed into the locale. you get to touch base with the markers as you come upon them, and they actually light up for you in a certain way. By light up, I don't mean like illuminate. I mean that you. And the communication
they actually do illuminate.
Yes, they illuminate
inwardly.
Inside, exactly.
Okay, don't forget, the purpose of this particular book is, got many purposes, but as individuals, we are talking about how to work, live, and move in the macro dimensions. All right. So we've very definitely left the world,
mm-hmm.
and we're saying, okay, let's entertain the fact we've left the world. Now what?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So when we say that it is illuminated, it is illuminated, and as throughout all the spiritual teachings, those that have eyes will see, and those who have ears shall hear, and so. Place yourself in that position. And that's what we're going to do in the first couple of minutes here. We're going to just work ourselves, let ourselves take, you know, dust off the road dust. Everybody did something to get here. You drove, you sat down, had a quick dinner, or for those on the East Coast, you know, you've had a long day and it's late, it's ready for it to hit the sack. And I'm saying, let's pause a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to pause, and all of us are going to come together. There you go. How's that?
and we're going to shuffle off. In a sense, we're shuffling off that mortal coil. We are slipping those bounds of our daily existence, and we're going to allow the. Well, that's what it is.
No, but I just got to.
Yeah, go for it.
I think. One of the great pillars of Western civilization, of all of human civilization, was the writer called William Shakespeare. And Harold Bloom, the great literary critic, says he invented mankind.
Yes.
He invented modern man.
Creator Shakespeare.
And of course, Pat's referring to a particular quote where you know, I'm forgetting the quote now, but shuffle off this mortal coil. And of course, even this great, great giant, you know, it was such a thing to say right then. Because, but all we knew is that there's this thing called the mystery of death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're going to get to that place and shuffle off the mortal coil. Somebody make sure we have that quote right, if you would, please. And what act it's in. But anyway, so that's all we knew then, right? There's this mystery thing, we're going to die. And of course, you know, there's the interaction with the ghost and so on. But we really didn't know about it. Yet here we are today, 500 years later, and we're bold. We're taking a bold stand and we're saying, that's okay. We know we don't know that. We're going to test it anyway. We're going to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that physical situation, we're going to say, let's put on a different set of clothing.
Exactly.
Let's put on our holy raiment and wear that for a moment. So let us do that, and let us do that tonight then. Go ahead.
And the other piece of this is, just as we are with the sound of our shared voices and the collection of our shared spirit, shall we also, in this moment, take a deep, shared breath and allow that air to expel and remove the residual of what has been holding us in our ordinary state and allow that to dissipate.
Go ahead and guide us through that then.
So we will put our feet flat on the floor. And we will feel the soles of our feet. And we will have our bodies in a relaxed position. And we can close our eyes if we choose. But we will allow the inhale to come in as it would normally do. No pressure and no change. And as the exhale occurs on its own, allow the dissipation of the strings of our required lives to lie down and be still like dogs. When you inhale, you will allow your eyes to open, gradually taking in view as it appears to you now.
And with new eyes and fresh eyes, they beheld the world before them. Okay, that should do it. Okay, I don't. What book do you have there? You don't have that. Do you have the same version that I have? I have the 25th version, 25th anniversary version. That's earlier. Well, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm looking at the chapter called The First Stage of the Voyage in the Macro Dimensions of the Labyrinth. And this is Moment of Death to Secondary Clear Light. So here, suddenly, here we are, okay? We are in a corporeal body.
Apparently so.
We have a document in front of us. And I'm going to actually verbalize the reading here, and then I'm going to pose a question.
Good.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So here I am, moment of death through secondary clear light. First chamber. This covers the specific period between the time that the voyager or the family and friends of the voyagers request readings to the vigil following terminus. This includes getting the reader to the location of the voyager's terminus point, confirming or altering arrangements as necessary to make the voyager's transition from the human dimension into the macro-dimensional domain as gentle as possible. Arranging the reading chamber space, preparing the voyager with reading, and if possible, with exercises extending into and through the initial levels of clear light. Arranging to attend the formal service following terminus, and making sure that the biological machine is not removed to a mortuary before a full hour has passed following medical certification of the moment of brain death. So at first blush, we read this and we go, oh yeah, okay. I can kind of see myself going to, you know, someone's dying and I'm going to get ready for that. And, you know, geez, tell me exactly what to do here. And if I continue to read it, it's very clear and distinct. So now, let's shift your attention just a little. Just a little bit. We're going to just shift our attention because it says here, confirming or altering arrangements as necessary to make the voyagers transition from the human dimension into the macro dimension. As gentle as possible. We're arranging the reading space, preparing the voyager with readings and if possible with exercises, extending into and through the initial levels of clear light. So aren't we going through this often in our life? Aren't we going through these transits all the time? Don't we, all during the day, are we not going through a transit? So who are we preparing at this point?
Nice question. Ivan, what do you have to say? Oh, Ivan. Yes. Okay. Does everyone know about Ivan? It's a manifestation form here with you know, no corporealness, apparently. But Ivan's with us. How would you rephrase the question, please? In a way that would allow us to
we're approaching in a certain way from the human dimension. We're approaching dangerous ground. It's frightening ground. It's like we're on in a canoe or a raft or a kayak on a river, and the river is going pretty good, but it's a gentle river. But then we can hear up ahead, we can hear the falls and the sound of the white water, and we know something's about to come. Now, what's the best way to deal with that other than desperately trying to get to the shore and get out of the thing?
Practice.
It's practice, but it's also for the voyager at that point, it's at the moment of a transition, is it? Is it not?
Yes.
So, and in this case, the voyager knows that they are about to transit. What's the best posture to be in? Do you clam up like this? No, you accept the energetic of about what's coming forth for you.
In the vernacular of the childbirth training, which is the reciprocal correspondent to dying, it is the job of the mother who is birthing to relax as much as possible and to face what is occurring with knowledge, therefore practice, and also to place complete attention on the being of the child.
Okay, so in that particular case, it's an interesting point. to be made, because that technology actually allows the Voyager, in this case, yes, it's the child, but it's also the mother.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a transition for both.
So the mother is going through a tremendous transition, and you can say, okay, stop that train with your bare hands.
Oh, and what do you mean by that?
Or, this train's going to come anyway, kiddo.
Yeah.
And here's a way to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm trying to make here is, so the author has offered us here these several pages, and there are various stages that he takes us through. And I say, dear reader, I say, dear fellow Voyager, who then is the Voyager, and who is it that you as the reader are preparing?
So we're looking at a text that provides not one but two simultaneous points of view and attitude and commitment. Because as a reader, your commitment is to the Voyager, and as the Voyager, your commitment is to the voyage.
To the voyage.
Exactly.
And I didn't bring some of the quotes I had at the beginning when we were doing this at the very beginning from some of the Tibetan texts about the power of the moment of terminus, of transition, but it's terrifically powerful. There's a tremendous amount of energy at that point. And the Voyager's job, in a sense, is to acquiesce to that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we acquiesce to that moment of transit? And all I'm saying is that we are operating in various moments of transit all the time. So take your backpack, because you are already on the voyage. Notice that you have the backpack and that you're already on that voyage, and you're going through these transit points anyway.
Yeah.
So we prepare to do that. That's. When do you want to read that?
At any moment, yes.
Okay. Okay, so let me just plow on a little bit here.
Yeah, and if you want another reader, I'll switch with you.
Yeah, no, I'm just, because I'm
yeah.
So then the next paragraph starts with, it says, step one, terminus is close. The launch window, as is telling us, into the macro dimensions is opening. That was my clue when I read this a few months ago, actually. The launch window. I'm in the launch window right now. I was in the launch window when I walked through that door and sat down here. And the Voyager has entered into the final symptoms. You have already made arrangements for the cleansing, fumigation, etc. And then it says, sometimes incense can't be used in the presence of oxygen. Essential oils can be used. And then he says, and work as well as they're as functional. What does he mean?
That's correct. What is he talking about? What
does
he
mean? It works as well.
What is it that the essential oils do, and also that the incense does? What is that?
What is it when he says it works as well?
Yes.
Anybody?
It sets the stage. It
sets the stage.
Susan tells us. It sets the stage. Okay, so remember last week, slow readers that we are, we read one page.
Yes.
And that page was the obligatory reader's invocation. It was a portal. It set the stage. So this next 10 pages here, which we'll bounce through it tonight. I'm not sure we need to read the whole thing, but this is the exercise called the last hours of life.
Yes.
Because we're proactive with this at this point. We're not dependent on being whisked away and whatever happens, happens, okay? Because we're players. We're players in this game. How are you going to play that moment?
Technically, when we look at this particular set of pages, we spoke at the beginning this evening about how there is a set of posts that you might touch if you were going on one of those mm-hmm. relay or scavenger hunts. And if you touch them in the right order, in the right sequence, or if you just get to mm-hmm. them, you actually light up for yourself an internal map. And that's what these little, you know, they're not little, they're highlighted statements are saying, this is the next one to touch. Touch this one. Deal with this. Encounter this. In a certain way, I think you could say, you know, in the theatrical world, you could say, put yourself into it. You know, the dramatic form of taking it on. In this training, we speak of invoking. We speak of allowing an invocation to come forth. That's what this is designed to do.
Correct. Allowing the invocation to come forth and then maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maintaining it for a little bit of time. So skipping ahead about a page and a half at the top of, in this volume, page 63, it is your job. And we're talking about the reader. This point.
Mm-hmm.
It is your job to make certain that everyone attending and directly involved has a definite understanding of what you are doing and what you're going to do, what is expected of them in terms of silence, and remaining reasonably still, which means not fidgeting noisily, moving suddenly, or playing pinochle during the reading. So it's your job. And over the years, we've mentioned this concept of attending to a post. Think about this situation, like everybody's kind of helpless and the nurses are doing what nurses do, doctors are doing what they're doing, administrators, and then the family's kind of like, you know, wandering around, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. And there you are. You're walking between the raindrops here, and you are trained enough to walk through the raindrops, and your job is to let everyone know.
Exactly.
Okay?
To communicate clearly and specifically what is going on and what is going to be occurring. Yeah.
Okay. We okay over there, Susan?
Yes.
And then he goes on, step two, if time permits, take a bath or shower. And he goes on about talking about what you should wear and things like this. What is that like? What does that mean? What does that remind you of? What does a priest do before performing the Mass? They call it celebrating the Mass.
They take off the road dust.
Say it again.
They shake off the road dust.
They shake off the road dust.
They prepare to enter the space cleanly.
And they place themselves, they put on the new clothes.
Yes.
All right?
They
put on the new clothing.
Do ablutions? And dress with the correct raiment.
Step three, before you dash off madly to attend, it is wise to determine where the voyager is actually going to be. Know what you're doing, in other words. But this whole thing about dashing off madly, that's not our job. We don't dash off madly. And then step four, touch the right side of the frame of the outer doorway and say before entering, blessings upon this house in the hour of passing. And that, of course, refers to the mezuzah, which has within it the parchment and the prayer and is actually considered part of the Torah. Oh, Israel, hear, you know, that this is God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what it is, something like that. Five, outside the terminus chamber, find out what the present situation is. In other words, you still have clarity. You're not in a dependent situation. You are active in saying, okay, where are we right now? Where are we? I know where we want to be. I know something's happening. But you actively say, okay, where are we? What's the nature? Where is the patient at the moment? I mean, in terms of the arc of terminus.
It's called getting your bearings or getting your navigational settings. You basically are taking the compass. You're getting the readings of the compass. Where are things at? How is it proceeding? What, you know, basically, what's the wind speed and the you know, in this journeying here, how fast are we moving along? What is the last thing that we passed? We, you know where you're at.
Any good sailor will figure all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say that if you've ever sailed on the ocean, which I have, what you do is the first thing you do is you do everything you can to check out the boat, the rigging, the mode, everything about it. Then you read the weather reports, you actually look about you. You test lines. You're orienting yourself to the space that's specifically at hand.
That's it.
Okay?
It's an orientation.
So we are now oriented because we're brave, we're bold. Don't forget, we're the bold ones. We're saying, yeah, I'm going to shuffle off this boil coil. However, let's see what happens here. I'm going to investigate and study. I'm not afraid to be in that space. You're not dominated by fear, and the transit vehicle you have as a voyager, as a reader rather, at that moment, the transit vehicle you have is that you have a duty to perform.
Yes, your obligation, and taking the obligation that is presented to you in the chamber means basically that you hold the space on behalf of the voyager so that they can make transition smoothly and with no duress. That means you're responsible for everything going on in the space. I don't mean it as in ordering around. I mean as in knowing and perceiving and understanding what is occurring so that you can communicate, you know, in the manner in which family and staff can be part of the team of the voyager's transit. That's the goal, is to have it be a smooth team event. Just time for one tiny
Go
little.
Ahead.
So
yeah.
So Blair Tremoreau's transit took place in a private home with several of us from the community in attendance and several members of his family around. And when the hospice nurse landed on the scene, she took charge of the entire situation in the same way I'm describing that the reader can do. In other words, she said, he's going to be having X experiences, symptoms, etc. You might observe such and such. When this happens, don't be afraid, don't worry, don't be concerned. This is totally normal for him in the stage he's at. She put people at ease with the situation that was going to be occurring so that there was no trepidation or anxiety in the space, so Blair could have a transit that wasn't with people who were upset in his chamber. It was brilliant. I don't remember her name, but she was fabulous. And she brought out the stages of death from the Tibetan book, and I, of course, gave her one of ours.
So we're operating as as the guide during those periods of time. So we're keeping a clarity about us, and we're able to keep the clarity because we're doing an obligation, fulfilling an obligation. At this point during this cycle, whether it is a cycle you're going through in your personal life or you're actually working with somebody in Terminus, the energy level is cranking up at this point.
Yep.
The energy level is continuing to crank up, and it's continuing to be there. And part of our job is to acquiesce to that so that we can continue to do our job.
Mm-hmm. You extend your tolerance, your energetic tolerance.
The ability to absorb that amount of energy is part of the skill set that we're learning, is that we need to learn, and we need to practice on it. We need to practice with that, those kinds of energy, and rather than do what in the chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self, the common emotion that the humans have is a reaction to something.
Blow it off.
You know, we react, we go away, we hide, etc. What we're talking about is allowing that level of energy to pass through us. And you open, you know, you park the waters, as it says in that chapter, so that you can be there and be effective as the guide in that Voyager space.
David, there are comments when you're ready.
Go ahead, you guys.
This one is by Gapals. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. It is our job to attend to the quiet around the passing. The circumstances will promote that quiet as well. So we are not really doing anything special. We are attending it and staying with it. The deer then comments, this is a virtual connection bearing.
Right, well put.
And then Molly, midway, adds, don't be afraid, don't be concerned, no trepidation or anxiety. Find the levity and rise to it.
When I listened to the first comment from Grant, it's what he's saying is very profound. Yeah, I think he said something like, we don't do anything, or what is it? Something like that?
We attend.
We attend. This is a high degree of skill. Okay? This is, we don't meddle with the situation. We don't pour our stuff into it because we're having a reaction. We just attend. And as I've said many, many, many times, Adelheid was quite brilliant at that in those spaces.
Yeah, she and I were the two with Blair.
And she could just not invade the space with her own stuff.
Yeah, she could be there not doing for days.
So not doing ain't necessarily easy.
Definitely not.
It's a beautiful trait. Go ahead, Harry.
That's all there is, right? Hold on, let me make sure.
Yeah.
There was one other. Oh, yes. And Molly says, to keep the clarity about us. Concern is okay, it feels like, but let it be a motivation to offer levity and energetic tolerance, and we need to practice. Don't blow it off unless it's just a melody to part the waters to be there and to be effective.
Think of the Voyager for a moment, and sometimes the Voyager that you're considering is yourself here, but think of the Voyager. They are in an enhanced energetic space. Who else has the skill set to be with the Voyager right then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's kind of a theoretical knowledge, I think, that the nurses and the hospice nurses and the doctors and administrators may have family, you know, it's like, oh, they're really going through something. That's not what's called for here. It's calling dancing with your partner. It's getting into the energetic that that individual
mm-hmm.
has and allowing yourself so they know that someone's with them.
Mm-hmm.
They know that someone's with them at that energetic level. That's the point I was trying to make a couple of weeks ago, Susan, is that how can we be with each other? How can we offer the hand of friendship? And I'm not talking about like human friendship here. I'm talking about what you and I were talking about the other day, Silverdale, is that this essential handshake, and it's nothing that you can really fake. It's nothing you can try to do. Because if you're filled with sentimentality, oh, I love you, I'm your best friend ever, it's not what we're talking about.
Well, the phrases that we've been using so far this evening work pretty nicely, which is you're matching
mm-hmm.
vibrational electrical force.
How's that?
By attendance. Only. Not by doing. Only by attendance. And in fact, we could use the word attending as in using our attention to be with. That's one of the higher forms of being activity, if you can use the word being an activity and
mm-hmm.
mean it in that way, not to be
is
misnaming.
This 5 minutes?
So yeah.
Okay, but not yet.
Okay.
Okay, I just...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's pump on.
Are we on
here.
6 now?
We're going to go to 6. It says,
good.
Return to the room of the patient and check to see that everything is neat, clean, and orderly. Don't allow people to come in and do a big cleaning or anything like that at this point. But what are you doing? You're going back to the room of the Voyager where the Voyager is and just... You're reassessing, you're reorienting, you're just going, okay, yeah, we're okay. You know, we're okay there. Step 7, the exact location. Now, here's the reader again, formally figuring out exactly what they're going to do. The exact location from which the reader delivers the labyrinth instruction to the Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure out, where am I going to, I'm going to sit there. It's called the AMBO. Now that phrase is, that's where in the old churches, that's where the gospel was recited,
mm-hmm.
or the epistles were recited,
mm-hmm.
because that was the space for that. And so it's, we create, out of thin air, we create the AMBO, because we are going to be doing what? It's called the reader, the exact location which the reader delivers the labyrinth instruction to the Voyager.
Now, if we just take one further second with this, it is a physical as well as a metaphysical location. And in other words, if you are internally set, ready, geared, prepared to deliver the instructions, that means you're inside of that teaching yourself at that moment. So that when you deliver them,
nice,
they're coming through you.
Beautiful.
With the Voyager. So that's
mm-hmm.
it's metaphysical as well as a physical space that you hold.
It's kind of brilliant in a way.
Somebody thought this up, and you know, it's a really, 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 really good idea, which is you don't die alone, you die as one. And we're all there for dying, you know, and
right.
That's why we can all read.
And
it works.
We're gonna get into that quite a bit next week. That particular comment. All right, that's
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna dissect it a bit. So in this particular phase here, step which is step 7, and then EJ goes on to discuss. Various things like the various candle, incense,
mm-hmm.
The music. And I know some of you in your last hours of life, and there were two more of them that were put up. Tamara put hers up, and so did Cameron.
Good.
You know, you have like, oh, and I like this particular music. And Susan, you and I have talked about that, but was that in your writing, the music you wanted to have?
I can't remember. I did, the music that feels right is Epitaph.
Okay. So for her, you know, she says epitaph is something, Epitaph for an Ego by E.J. Gold also. And I know Gnostic Man, which I was kind of shocked to read when I read his. And the reason it is because it reminded me of myself a little bit. But he says, how about Jimi Hendrix?
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever works for you at that time. And that's what works for him. You know.
And I guess I can confess in front of God and everybody. I told everybody this, but it's been 20 years.
I'm ready to hear it.
So the photograph that we use for the readings for Patricia is one where I'm sitting on a child's fire truck and I have a little yellow fireman's hat on, and the song is from Sesame Street, and Ernie says, you got to put down the binky. You got to put down the binky. You got to put down the binky if you want to play the saxophone. And that you can play for Patricia. She knows exactly where that is.
Okay, so.
Well, and I have a song for the memorial. I hadn't thought of it at the time of death.
Yes.
From Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Go for it.
I'm going home.
Ah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful. It's got all these violins going and.
Good rendition. Very good rendition.
So these are things that you discover about yourself that are work for you. And if the Voyager doesn't have the pre-planning that we're working with, then you as the guide can help them along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can suggest certain things. There's a lot of, let's say, music that you could work with and certain incenses that you could work with that are what I call a safe bets in a situation like that.
I think as well as the incense and the candle, if there is no music, I don't think that's a deal breaker.
No. Not at all.
Optional. All of
Absolutely.
It is optional.
I think you can, yes, set the stage in many ways.
So let's pound on that a little bit. So what is the stage that you are setting? You've already set it.
Well, as far as the reader, well, everybody would be to get into a space of allowing.
So something called the space to allowing is a vibratory sensation.
Mm-hmm.
So setting the space is aided by these other things.
Exactly.
It's aided by that. The true guide presents that vibratory sensation in a form of emanation that they give to the space. It's like holding up the standard of excellence.
And the thing that Grant was saying in his comment, which is there is silence and circumstances will contribute to the silence, and as the reader or the guide in the space, all you're doing is providing the supportive, if needed, supportive aids to continuing that silence. Because out of the silence will occur whatever is needed.
The silence in this particular realm of the macro dimensions is not a subtractive thing.
No.
It's not something, very, very full.
It's
not something that is defined by what's not there. This is a palpable sensation that is in the room. And the Voyager and the guide knows how to vibrate with that and note the vibratory sensation that the Voyager is looking to give off. The Voyager at that moment is telling you everything. Do we have ears to hear? Well, that's the channel of communication, like amplitude modulation for an AM radio, the form is the vibratory sensation, and as we get more familiar with it, which we are doing in these classes, we'd be trying to get ourselves more familiar with being in, and then discerning it, discerning different vibratory sensations. That's the beauty of it. Okay?
Yeah.
So where were we? Chapter, step eight.
Step eight.
Now the readings for the approach of terminus begin. The whole, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, so-called, is one of about five volumes that the whole cycle of terminus has to deal with. And there's a whole book about this thing, about the approach of terminus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole, which I'll digest it a little bit more than I have, and then I'll bring it in as we go through the next section here. If the Voyager wishes, you should schedule daily or twice weekly readings long before the big day. Preparation for the ultimate adventure can be extremely beneficial. It sets in good habits, which even the stress of passage might not interrupt.
This is what I meant when I said practice, practice, practice.
So what he's saying here is the hint that EJ is giving us as workers, as guides here, saying,
mm-hmm.
okay, look, the Voyager 2, go practice this. Go read this darn thing. Read it and get into the space. It's like, you know, I guess what it would be like being a driver at the Indianapolis 500. You know, once you get in the car, it's like, it's a whole other story, right?
Yeah, that's not the time to say, gosh, I wish I had practiced.
Yeah. I got my license.
Somebody show me how to shift gears.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're saying, okay, you know what? We know this is going to happen. So let's practice stepping on the accelerator.
That's right.
So let's do a little work together on that.
Yeah.
And if you can do it with another, then you know you have a point of, I'm going to call it friendship, but I'm capitalizing the F here because I'm distinguishing it. I have a whole concept of friendship that is fundamentally different than the friendship of life, which is bargains and agreements and so on. As Eliot says, you know, we are the hollow men, we are the empty men. Leaning together.
Mm-hmm.
I can hardly
you can't tolerate,
say that one.
You can't tolerate that.
With so much dependency, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the bold voyagers coming together and say, okay, we are voyagers, and let's stand together in that.
And let's actually proceed with moving into the danger, which I think is that not...
Right, when the final symptoms become noticeable, stop all of the readings and concentrate on the readings for final symptoms.
Yeah.
The reader has not been trained in the transference procedures, confronting the primary clear light and confronting secondary clear light should be read. This provides a clear sequence of subjective impressions. If the Voyagers had previous preparation, review the final symptoms, and then during transition, indicate them as they occur. So think about this. This is an incredible instruction. Can you have, I'm going to call it presence of mind, because that's the term. I just call it, truly, it's just, can you have the presence to be in that space with that individual and as a guide? And you can do something called indicate them as they occur?
Of course.
That's the load. That's the work. And it's worth the stretch, I'll tell you.
Of course. And we have actually got the benefit of multitudes of individuals participating in this way of service, to rely on for the companionship, but also the certitude of how this works. For instance, I am reminded of the moment of the beginning of the four lines that we gave with our buddy, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
So, no time, no space, almost no sound, and no movement, and almost no bodies, but a functional space and
right.
a presence that was absolutely demanding of strong attention and participation. Okay. Now, where does all that come from? It doesn't come from the ones that wander in there the first time and go, what should I do? No, that's not it. All you do is you take on the obligation and you walk in the chamber. And guess what? All of those that have come before you have laid it down. It's there. Participate. Participate.
So we're going to get into, you're going to see a lot of terminologies in the next several weeks about the cleansing radiations and this sort of thing. And it's holding yourself with the ability to stand in that space as that's where you learn, baby. It's in the game. You get in the game, hang out in the game, and see what you're going to do. We're going to be about 5 minutes over time because I want to go through this next thing, and I have a question for George. When you recognize number step 9, when you recognize the symptoms of terminus, transition, read the obligatory reader's invocation, readings 1 and 2, 3, and the confrontation of the clear light. Check this out. At this point,
he looks to me, right?
The voice should be able to view all of existence as one single event as the vision expands to include all dimensions, higher and lower.
At simultaneously
Silver, at Silverdale, what the heck is he talking about there?
What, you know, this is just a pretty literal description of what happens. Hopefully we've developed our essential self during the course of our efforts to self-perfect during our lifetime, in which we actually begin to experience our essential self as a independent individual, something or other that really does see everything all at once.
There's a rare moment right then. There's a rare moment that opens up, and what this paragraph is saying is that it becomes an absolute reality. Because we are, in fact, the higher and the lower. We are the Godhead and the human. We are all part of all. And at that moment, as the power of transit and terminus occurs, we're able at that point to stand in that place, even if just for a moment. But that's a lot. Okay? That's a lot, because you carry that and you garner that knowledge. And by knowledge, I mean it in a very different way, but I do. The Voyager can then begin easily drift into the clear light and at least sufficiently to feel it as a mild electrical cushioning or warm, somewhat vibrating, descending blanket. After this relatively lucid period, the biological machine will deteriorate rapidly as a result of the direct exposure to the clear light, and transition will then be entered into fully. The Voyager moving completely into the clear light, eventually causing complete disruption of the functioning of the biological machine, which will then pass through the stages of motor death, nerve system death, and then finally brain death. Step 10, now the vigil begins. When the Voyager passes fully into the clear light, at this point you should be reading, confronting the clear light slowly. Not abnormally slowly, pausing momentarily after each sentence. And it's this, and he goes on to talk about your sensing skills, because if you can be reading the clear light prayer at that time, the clear light instruction, the energy level, because you have obligated in yourself to be with that Voyager at that time. The energy level is a great level. But if you can continue in a proper manner to say this, the clear light, that's something. How about those bananas? So the rest of it, go ahead and read that. There's two or three more pages. But I want to pass the ball to Pat at this point, because we are in the Easter season and we're right in the middle of it. And this coming weekend we have an Ishtar celebration, and that's going to be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, right?
Is it just Friday?
Friday, Saturday,
starts with
Sunday.
Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So is it just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
And Monday.
Part of Monday, okay. And there you go. So this is the season of Ishtar, and it's the season of Easter. And I think Pat has something she would like us to listen to. And when she's done, I'm going to read one more thing, and then we'll... So, would you please?
From the lost works of E.J. Gold, My Brother Judas, Good Friday. The period from the day of birth to Good Friday, the entering of the tomb, is a time for the soul to prepare the experience of being man in awakening, to become man in responsibility. This is performed by the soul by taking the human form through the darkness called death. The hall now seems to be a place of darkness, lit occasionally by sparks of light which pass back and forth through the hall. The hall can be seen to be full of silent gray shapes, as still as marble. Only the eyes in the shapes move and show life. These eyes are fixed upon the sparks of light which flash about in the darkness. These shapes are the spirit, which has placed itself deliberately within the prison of material form, playing out the Maya, the illusion of events, contacts of personality, and efforts of growth. It is the impersonal and individualized soul which has attained entry here that we see in the hall on this day. Since the day of birth, the divine man has withdrawn from the choirs of angels to become part of the passing army of men in the sands of time, and has remained in obscurity by identity with the outer man. But now he approaches the recovery of life absolute. The lesson of the ceremony of Good Friday is that both death and life are one. This may be expressed as, I see death, I know death, I am death. It may also be expressed as all three in one, I am life. Take death and make it life as you take evil and make it good. Spirit can become matter as water can become fire. Spirit, when it identifies itself with matter, sweeps it away as water obliterates fire. But it must long to become one with the fire before this miracle can be obtained. The spirit must be so completely willing to enter into the darkness of death of the material that it transforms through love and gratitude into thankfulness and freedom, the utter freedom of endlessness, so that it dissolves away. In joyously entering the tomb, the Christ of the world destroys the tomb itself, and after the deep, silent ages of prayer, of effort, the tomb yields up the dead, and that which was dead lives. That completes this reading of Good Friday from my brother Judas.
The next class, we will be going through the first, I'm not sure if we'll get through them all, but first five readings.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to read the first one just to let us know where we are, and it's perfect with what you just read.
Mm-hmm.
Reading number one, the symptoms. Waiting to pass through transition, I make the effort to release myself from the mind, habits, and identity of the human primate, remembering myself as a voyager, separating myself from identification with the human primate within, which I have been voyaging throughout its lifetime. I'll just read that first part. So read these first five chambers, first five readings. Read through them a few times.
Aloud.
Don't forget, this is called Great Liberation to Hearing in the Bardos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a verbal exercise. And you start your reading with the obligatory reader's invocation, which comes before that, before what I read. That opens the portal to, it's an indication of where you should be internally and vibrationally when you begin this particular kind of work.
It's the navigational clue to the completion of the orientation and receptivity to the readings as they proceed. That's what the obligatory reader's invocation provides you.
So this may look like a book. It's actually a compass. And we'll continue to work our compass. Anything else over there, Susan? Harry, are we okay?
Oh, yes.
I missed the word of your last sentence.
You missed my last sentence?
A word.
I missed the word.
You missed the word?
One of the words.
What did I say?
Within which I have been voyaging.
You mean the reading from the reading?
No. What did you
from
say
what
that?
I just said about the compass?
Yes.
I just said that this may look like a book,
right,
but it's actually a compass.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I missed compass.
So we're actually taking a course in, when you actually learn how to do compasses, by the way, it's called orienting.
That's
it. So we're learning how to use compasses, that's all. So bring your compasses next time. Go ahead. What else, Harry?
David, I think we've pretty well covered the territory here.
We covered the territory because he's our scout master for the night. So.
I mean, there's just a few little comments, but not much.
They'll be in the log again.
I have another comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you were talking about doing the readings.
Yeah.
Pat was saying the importance of doing it out loud.
Yes.
And doing it with each other. And I have practiced not much, but with another reader, and we were able to learn and refine and become comfortable with hearing that voice, and even to say that either, you know, that's too fast, that's too slow.
Wait a minute. Are you implying that you actually did this with another person?
Yeah.
You?
On the phone, and we talked.
You mean got on the phone with somebody else, and you read to that person then read to you?
Yeah.
What?
And the cool thing about, I know, but the cool thing is that we were able to say.
Okay, right here, right now, I want to know, would anybody else like to do that together?
I would.
Susan's saying she wants to do it with somebody.
It's a great thing to do.
It is.
Is there anybody, did anybody come to the class tonight other than Susan and Harry and Silverdale?
And Grant.
And Grant.
And Molly Midway.
Oh, no, and Vadir.
And Vadir.
No wonder Vadir.
Well, you know, I wanted to say, and you were so blown away that I did it, but the cool part is we were able to say, you know, that's too fast, or that's too slow.
Yeah.
Feedback.
Or that's so monotone, there's no way I can stay with you.
Yes.
Or, you know?
Yes.
So, in other words, you got an experience at reading.
Right.
And read to, and you were, and there was enough standard of excellence between the two of you. And I know who you read with, that you could actually give feedback to each other. Right?
It was interesting.
But people are volunteering. What I want is, how are we going to get individuals to specifically work with each other then?
Well, they're saying yes on the on the log. There's a few.
Yes, they are. Lots
there's
of yeses
Molly
here.
Molly Midway and Puzzle Tricks and Hawk Lady and Gnostic Man and Simon.
Okay.
And
so,
Melissa.
You want to do
Path
it?
Path World.
Okay.
Yes.
And Hawk Lady.
Hang on. Write down the names of everybody that says they want to do it, please, on a piece of paper.
Galpalaz.
Who?
Galpalaz.
We can't pronounce your name, you're out.
Well, I hope to keep my existing partner.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So, I'm getting this list, and then Pat and I are going to assign people.
Oh, fine. Readers,
like, for instance,
I'm not going to
assign Hawk Lady to Path World, because they see each other every Tuesday morning anyway. They're already trying to arrange it?
Okay.
Well, that's okay if they arrange it.
Anyone who does not get an arrangement made for them can check in with David. Give him an email. Because we will make sure that you have someone that you can do this with.
Read with somebody that you haven't worked with before.
That's also good.
Because you'll start to see that the correspondence of spirit that you have, and it allows you to recognize a fellow voyager.
Yeah. Nice to do it with somebody you don't know.
And if anybody doesn't have anybody, I'll work with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one of the things about it is
okay.
We did the clear light reading.
They're not parents.
Can you hear me now?
Of course they're going to suggest they read together.
Can you hear me now?
No, I can't hear anything you're saying.
Uh-oh.
No, I can. I'm sorry.
He was pulling your leg.
I'm pulling your leg there, Susan.
I see. I go slow here.
Okay, give me the list that you have. Go ahead, Susan. You keep talking because he's writing.
Okay.
Well, So we did the clear light reading, and to in the same conversation to you, we read it one person to the other and then switched roles, and it was really to be able to experience reading and being read to was just really great and different.
Okay. You two are going to work together, right? You and Harry?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you continue that, but the assignment this time is read these first five readings, okay?
Yes.
Good. Badir, would you be, would you?
Oh, starting with the clear light. Starting with the obligatory reader's invocation.
The five readings go: reading number one, which David read a portion of this evening. Reading number one, then there is another reading called reading number two, etc., through reading number five, which comes after the clear light.
Yeah.
And when we say readings, we mean doing each of those readings in number one through five and the obligatory reader's invocation. Including the obligatory reader's invocation.
You would do that first.
If you wish.
That's one way to open space, and
yes,
it'll help you. Vadir, Silver Dare, would you like to work with Vadir?
Absolutely, if I have her telephone number or email address.
Vadir, is that okay with you? Antimatter, would you like to work with Melissa Lorca? She said yes. And Melissa Lorca, is that okay with you? Antimatter, you probably know each other from online, right?
From online.
And you can do it if you're in Second Life. You can do it in that manner, too, which might be a little bit of a issue for you. Simon, would you be willing to work with Pathworld? And Pathworld, would you like to work with Simon?
And then just to say I do.
Okay, then figure out how to do it together. Molly Midway, would you like to work with Hawk Lady?
Oh, wow.
And Hawk Lady with Molly Midway. Puzzle Tricks, would you like to work with Gnostic Man? And Gail, you're in there too, I think, hidden away under that. Would you like to work with Grant?
Cool, Harry, isn't this cool?
This is going to create incredible energy.
Can you believe it? It happened so fast?
Are they answering yes?
Yes.
Okay, so figure out how to get a hold of each other. If you can't figure out how to get a hold of each other, get a hold of me.
Yes, that's what I do.
And then I will,
as be the clearinghouse.
I'll be the clearinghouse. And Badir, I know... I know there's a thing with telephones, and you're not having easy access to that. But work it out with Silverdale, because I don't want you to incur a bunch of fees just to do this call. Because if you can't do it with him, then I'll put you with somebody on Second Life who can do it. He's not on Second Life. Maybe he should get on Second Life. Like 15 people are saying that right here. So,
it might provide you some momentum for making that transition. And you know, if you need assistance with that transition, there are folks who'd be very happy to help you with that. They could do it with you on the phone, help you get into Second Life, and you know, assist
Thank you.
You.
Thank you. I know I put you on the spot there.
I am thrilled and delighted to hear that folks are going to read aloud to each other. This is...
you know what?
This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Now...
That's where the rubber meets the road, David.
It is definitely where the rubber... Because we're now talking about doing something here, once again... We're not in contemplation. I'm just thinking of all the issues at hand. So you will be read to.
Yes.
And you will read. So I'm not going to say a lot more.
No.
Okay?
No.
I'm just not going to say anything else
no.
at the moment. This will take us a while to get through, by the way.
Yes.
We've added another level that hadn't been there before. You're welcome to join in if you'd like. Okay? We can talk about that.
Yes. We can make room for anyone who would choose to do this. If you weren't attending this evening, that doesn't mean you get left out. Please put that in the log for people who only hear about this in the log. Let folks know.
George, I'm thinking about Judy that I know would be something she would like to do.
Yes.
David, you look like a kid on Christmas.
I am. It's terrific. if it's something that Judy wants to do, for some reason I'm having a strong response that she do it with you.
Yeah, that would be fine. I can do one.
You can figure it out.
I can do one. I can do one.
Anything else? Do we know what to do?
I can do two.
Thank you.
Magic Phoenix.
I was hoping my contemplative statement there would bring
Phoenix
the correct response. You can do two?
I can name that in two people.
Yay.
She said she wants that tune.
Sorry.
You can do it with Magic Phoenix then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Go on the log and just give her your name or something like that in Second Life. She's a Second Life for her.
Of Magic Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be fun in Second Life.
Yeah.
David, if anyone gets lost and wants to do it on the phone and has no other one else to help them, I'll be happy to do an extra as well.
Yeah.
You have an open relationship.
You will read for others.
I was going to say that's a little bit of an overshare.
No, that's exactly what we like in the relationship.
See. Now,
I will read for others.
The sign at the street corner.
I will read for others. No food necessary.
Yes, I want to make sure everybody's fat. And I'm concerned about Badir. Do I need to be concerned about you? Maybe you should be with somebody in Second Life.
Yes.
For her, it is. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
For me, it isn't. But
yeah.
For some people, it is. And I'm just trying to acknowledge it. Simon, you might be in that same position. I don't remember. But you and George work so much, and I didn't want to exactly put you together. So reshuffle a little bit, you guys, if you need to. And Second Life makes it quite easy to do things like this. It's very simple. You have many, many tools at hand. And you say that to Harry then. I helped him get into it. It was.
God bless you, David. For
yes.
Other than Harry, you don't need to be a computer geek.
It was not easy.
He's not in Second Life.
Oh, okay.
So
there's another one.
Wait a minute. He and Vidir are both in Toronto. So Siva worked out with them, with the two of you.
And possibly Skype would be.
It all depends.
I'm letting them
work it out.
In
so,
Canada, they
Vidir,
might
why
work.
Don't you check? Who did I say Simon to do it with?
I just
read up. Who?
Pathworld?
Yeah, that's what
Simon and Pathworld?
Yes.
Okay, maybe Pathworld can work with Silverdale then. For who? She's going to Skype with who? Simon?
Good.
Okay, but that still leaves Vidir out.
Vidir.
Well, but I don't know. I'm just, there's this phone thing with her, and I want to acknowledge it and help it get worked out. That's all. I don't want her to have it.
Dave, I thought you put Vidir and me together, and I'm happy to work with Vidir in any way that is convenient
for her. All right, good.
You'll work it out with her then,
yay,
right? Can you do that, George?
Absolutely. I posted my email address in the chat log if she's able to read it.
Oh, good.
She is. She's in second line. Let them work it out. We don't have to over-control this.
Nope. Everybody do it the way they best
can. And I think we're a little bit more than 5 minutes over, so we'll call it a night. Thank everybody for coming again. And
thank you. Thank you,
Dave. Night and on.
See you next week, everybody.
Thanks, all.